I don't think it's an understatement to say that sometimes when you look at the news and you see what's going on politically today, it could cause a little bit of panic, right? You could see what's coming down the pipeline. You kind of be like, oh, I hope it doesn't end up the way it's looking that it's going to end up. Or you could see some of the things in the news and you're like, what is going on? How does that even make any sense at all? And you start to think, yeah, how does that make sense? Where's God in what's going on? Where's God in all this? Is he still on his throne? Is he watching what's going on? What are we supposed to do? Are we just supposed to continue to submit to the government no matter what comes down the pipe? Or do we engage our brains and do we say, maybe not? Do we ever speak out and do we ever say, no, I don't think that's right and I can't do that? How do we navigate this political landscape? Let's remember, Peter's been beating into our brains that we are exiles and we are sojourners. And so there is this very real sense that whatever's happening, we're not ever going to be really comfortable with what's going on. Because we're not really at home here, and we got to remember that. Okay, and we talked about that last week. But how do we glorify God as sojourners and exiles? How do we glorify God in submitting to our government, in living the life that we're called to live as American citizens? And so we're going to talk about those very things today. If you're not there, head over to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we are going to continue in 1 Peter on this Memorial Day weekend. There's a handout in your bulletins to follow along with the outline. If you don't have a Bible, there'll be verses on the screen. There's also Bibles back there at the welcome table, and you can always get a Bible. That's our gift to you guys as well. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 13, and I'll read for us. It says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution." Wait, what? Really? This is what you're going to sling at me on a Memorial Day weekend? Be subject. I'm just the mailman, okay? Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Are you serious, Pastor Mike? What does that mean? That we just have to submit to the government blindly, like lemmings going over a cliff? Like, what are we talking about here? Subject, be subject really means to submit to. And Peter, in this case, is commanding us. He's saying, be subject. He's not saying, please. He's not saying, try to. He's not saying, give it your best shot. He's just saying, submit to, be subject to. And so that is our command that we're going to wrestle with today. Let's remember from the jump, though, that God's commands have God's enablement. God's commands have God's enablement. What he calls us to do, he gives us the strength and the desire and the means to follow them. Okay, so he's not setting us up for failure here, and he's not bringing something that is going to be bad for us, okay? What I'd like to do as we breathe and as we unpack this, okay, we're going to walk through a couple different ways of submission that this passage brings to us, and then we're going to talk about why, and we're going to tie it all together, okay? Does that sound good? Everybody ready? We're going to jump in? Okay. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent to him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. Peter is saying, yes, we submit to every human institution from the emperor to the governors, from president of the United States to the local police, to our bosses, to other people in authority over us. He's covering the full spectrum of authority here in this when he's saying from the emperors to the local governors. Okay? This doesn't mean that we submit willy-nilly to whatever they say. Okay? And that maybe that some of you will be like, ah, okay, that's better. Okay, so we do have a brain and we do have God's word, and so we're not going to talk about that. But what I do say is the first thing is we're going to submit appropriately. We are going to submit appropriately. So in other words, when the IRS says that you owe X dollars in taxes, we grit our teeth and we pay X dollars in taxes. We don't try and find a way to fix the numbers so that we pay X minus whatever in taxes, right? Or find a shady accountant with a bigger eraser or something like that to help us. We submit. When Vernon decides to change the speed limit on the flats to 25 miles an hour, gosh, I couldn't even imagine that. We would do 25 miles an hour on the flats, right? With a smile on our face, right? We would, right? Looking at some of my more lead-footed counterparts. When the boss calls us into our ninth meeting of the day that we think is just the dumbest thing that we've ever seen, and why do we have to listen to this again? We submit to the boss and we joyfully go into the ninth meeting of the day because he asked us to do so. So we submit appropriately. Wherever there are appropriate levels of authority over us, we submit appropriately. But what about when authorities go outside of the will of God? What about when our authorities are saying something that's contrary to God's word? Okay, hold that thought. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, some history, okay? Peter mentions the emperor, whether it be the emperor, okay? This is the first century. This is the time of the Roman Empire. This is Emperor Nero. And if you know anything about Emperor Nero, he was a nasty, nasty guy. Emperor Nero was really big and popular. And then what happened was that he started to decline in popularity very quickly. There was a fire, the great fire of Rome, that he tried to blame the Christians for. And then therefore, after that, he went on a rampage against the Christians. To the extent that he used to light Christians, put them on a pole, dip them in wax, put them on a pole, and then light them on fire as candles, torches, for his garden parties. Okay? This emperor. This is what Peter is saying to submit to this emperor. That's crazy talk. Right? Peter's saying, submit to this emperor. So that is the historical backdrop that we have. Let's remember, again, I'm going to give you little breathing points like through this thing. Just like, Let's remember that even in this election year, okay, when it is scary and we look at the news and we're like, holy cow, okay, nobody's lighting you on fire to be a human torch for a garden party, okay? Let's just breathe, because that's the environment that Peter's in, and that's why, and that's the backdrop that he's saying, submit to the government, submit to the emperor. Let us especially do our research. Let us pray really, really hard. Let's vote and remember that God's on his throne, okay? Amen? God also uses emperors and governments to keep order. Like, there's a very real aspect that God sets up these governments and they keep order. And that's really, really important. Could you imagine if we didn't have a military, if we didn't have a police force, and everybody just did what they wanted to do? It is part of God's plan. God sets up authorities, and we'll look at that in a minute, but God uses them in society as part of his common grace. Common grace is things that everybody has access to, whether or not you're a believer or not, okay? You all have access to sunsets. You all have access to awesome steak. You all have access to puppies or whatever else is good, okay? Like, those are common grace things, okay? Common grace, you don't have to be a believer in Christ to enjoy God's common grace things. This is one of God's common grace things, that there's actually order in this country. And if you've ever been to a foreign country or a third world country, we've been a couple times, the sense of disorder just kind of lurks everywhere. It's just kind of like, what could happen? People could die at any moment and I'm not sure anybody would care, right? We don't have to worry about that here so much. But we have a police force, we have a government, and God uses that and we submit to them appropriately. And when he talks about it, he gets down to this local level, where the governor sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good, right? We can overlay that over our local police, that they're enforcing the laws. They're going to punish those people who are doing evil and they're going to praise people who are doing good. Although I've never been pulled over by a police officer and gotten praised for it. Hey, you're doing the speed limit. Great job. Keep it up. Maybe someday that'll happen. I'm not sure. But I guess it's in effect that he's just not going to give you a ticket, right? But they will pull us over. And what's our thought when we do get pulled over? Do we respect? Do we submit? Do we start yelling before they get up to the car, which is always a bad plan, right? How are we when we get pulled over? Are we treating them honorably? Are we making their jobs easier or not? These are things that are all part of submitting appropriately. They enforce the law. God's word says that that's what they do. And when we are encountering them, do we show proper respect? God has a purpose in establishing authority. And we're going to continue our passage. Look at verse 15 in our passage. It says, "For this is the will of God." That kind of gets your attention, right? I feel like kind of an old prophet just like saying that. This is the will of God. God's word is speaking. Okay, God's word is alive and active, and God's word is speaking. It says, for this is the will of God. This is part of his plan. Okay? That by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. So we don't submit without purpose. Rather, we submit purposefully. That's our second thing. We submit appropriately, but we also submit purposefully. God has a plan for this. Okay? God has established authorities. God uses them in many ways to keep order and to do things and to show his common grace. But we submit purposefully. And isn't it the truth, though, that when we're doing something, that it seems like one of the worst things that we're engaged in a task is if we're not really sure what this purpose, what we're doing this for. You just kind of feel like this is an empty task. Kind of like me right now when I'm trying to get my pool water clean. I'm like, is this ever going to not be green? It's not green anymore. It's actually brown today, so that's good. So I hope we're making progress. But is there anything worse than doing a task where you don't feel like you're connected to a purpose in this? So this is not an empty submission, guys, that we are connected to God's purpose. And he says this is the will of God. You mean it's the will of God for me to pay my taxes? Yes. And to vote? Yes. And to do the speed limit? Yes. And to listen to my boss? Yes. That's what God is calling us to do. He's calling us to do that knowing that he has a purpose. So we submit purposefully. It's the will of God. And so many times, especially if you're a Christian kid, right, you think the will of God, and you're like, the will of God, like that secret will of God that I have to find. I have to marry the right person, or else if I don't marry that right person, then the whole world's going to be like one person off. So I got to get this right. I've got to live in the place that God has called me to live. I've got to take that extra special super secret job that God wants me to have. And he's throughout scripture saying, this is the will of God. Listen to what I tell you to do. And I'm going to say that the more we know God's general will, the clearer we will understand his specific will. The more we know God's general will of what he's calling us to do, like today, real in-your-face stuff, submitting to the authorities, the more we are going to understand his specific will. Who am I supposed to marry? What am I supposed to do with my life? Where am I supposed to live? Should I take this job? All that stuff comes more into focus once we understand who God is. And we should highlight things like this in our Bible that say that this is the will of God. We want to follow the general will of God, and he will give us clarity in the specific will. We need to connect, though, our submission to appropriate authority to who we are as believers. That's the purpose. God's calling us to this. We don't have separate. That's one of the biggest things I think that people stumble on. It's like, well, I got my Christian life and I've got my work life, or I've got my sacred kind of holy life and I got my secular life. There's no divide. We are Christians to our core. Okay? Everything that we have revolves around Christ. And so there's no divide. So even in our submission, God's saying, you are glorifying me and it's part of my plan. And I'm working in all things. We submit purposefully. But God here says that, look, there is a real tangible witness to others in the grace of God in how we submit. And we kind of saw this last week, right? We saw that in verse, where did it go from last week's passage? Oh, I'm never going to find it now. Oh, verse 12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So here we are, right back there again. God's saying, hey, what you're doing is a reflection of me. What you're doing is a reflection of who you serve. And so when you submit to authorities, right? Could you imagine again, let's overlay the historical backdrop. Like in this, the persecution, the terrible government, Nero, all of that oppression, like wouldn't it be like in you to kind of rebel against that as a believer? But Peter's saying, hey, if you guys actually submit to the government, that's quite a witness. That even that persecution that you are submitting to them as authorities over you properly, right, purposefully, appropriately, that's a witness. Because I'm sure at that time there was quite an uproar against Christians with Nero leading the charge. And if people were actually submitting and doing what they're supposed to do, then those charges really can't stick, right? And that is bringing glory to God. And as we see, it is used to put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. And so we connect our submission to authorities as we understand God's will and our lives as believers. There's boundaries, though, to our submission. And some of you, I can tell, you're like, okay, you're still making me nervous here. There are boundaries to our submission. Look at verse 16. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Look at that. Live as people who are free. We are free in Christ. Okay? We have a lot of freedom in Christ. And this includes freedom to do what he's calling us to do. He freely allows us to do what he's called us to do. And so that's our third thing. We submit freely. And we're going to look at this a little bit as we say we submit freely. We're free from the bond of sin through Christ. That we are not held hostage to sin. That we are not just able to just sin. That God has given us freedom in Christ. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are rather free to live our lives in Christ. But this freedom kind of comes with a twist, right? We've been freed by Christ. Therefore, we are now his, but we are actually his servants. And look at the end of verse 16. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. The word servants here is actually bond servant. It's actually someone who's contracted in the service of another, meaning one who is solely committed to another. Christ has set us free, but we are free to live our lives of joyful worship, submission to Christ. And that includes being submitted to the authorities. This is not like a dead-end slave relationship, okay? Romans 6:22 reminds us of this. It says, but now that you have been set free from sin and you become slaves of God, the fruit that you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. That's the fruit of our submission, is we get sanctification. We grow more into the image of Christ, and we are cultivating that life eternal that we will one day enjoy. We submit freely. It's our free will. We have free choice to submit, and we submit freely to this because we have been set free in Christ. We are not robots. We are not just submitting involuntarily. We choose to submit to the government. We choose, and we're selective, and we'll get more to that in a minute. But we choose to submit, and we choose out of our own free will. And you see that it's God's plan that he does grow us even in that because we've been free from Christ, or free from sin in Christ. Again, God is not interested in our mindless submission, okay? He wants our hearts. Even in our own personal walk, our own personal relationship with Christ, God is not interested in just us checking the box. He wants our hearts involved. He wants our souls engaged in this. Christianity is not just a religion of checking the boxes. God wants our hearts. We freely choose to love God. And I was with a guy on Thursday, I think it was, and that he's almost come to Christ, and that was one of the things that he's really struggling with, is why did God set it up like this? Why did God say that you can choose me or not choose me or understand or not understand? And I said, I think the answer to that is just what are other alternatives? I mean, either God didn't have to create us at all, which he didn't. He certainly didn't have to save us at all, but he did. But then we have freedom to choose. The other alternative would be that we'd be robots, right? And we wouldn't know any differently because we just submit all the time. God gives us freedom to understand. We understand how good things are because we understand how challenging things can be, right? We have that contrast. We understand the good because we know the bad. And we understand that out of freedom of submission, we submit to God because we understand what he's done for us in Christ Jesus. And we submit freely. We enjoy that grace. We enjoy that love. If we didn't have a choice, we wouldn't enjoy it because we didn't know there was a choice. We would just be robots. And so God gives us that freedom to accept him and reject him. I'm hopeful and prayerful that we will all submit to him freely out of our free will and love him purely. But our submission is never to involve sin. Either submitting to an authority that would instruct us to sin or our own personal sin in submission. And so that's our last one. We are called to submit purely. And there are two parts to this. The first part is that we are never called to submit to authorities if we are instructed to sin. Okay? Okay? I know some of you were getting nervous there for a second, but in time, we got there, okay? We are never called to submit to authorities if we were instructed to sin. Our brains must be engaged here. Our biblical filters must be engaged here. We serve, our highest authority is God. And so if there's someone that's going to come and going to trump that authority and say, no, what I'm calling you to do is going to contradict your highest authority, we don't do that. And we can't do that. Let's be super clear again. This passage is not saying to us that if an authority instructs us to do something that is sinful, that we have to obey. We are never called to submit to sin. And that's in life. Sin is never the only option. Okay? We never are forced into a situation where we only have to sin to get out of it. Somebody said to me one time, man, I just got my taxes done and I had to cheat on my taxes. I was like, wait, what? You had to cheat on your taxes? Like there's a gun to your head and somebody said you had to cheat on your, I don't understand. He goes, well, I could have declared a loss and I could have owed, but I wasn't going to do that. So I had to submit. I had to cheat on my taxes. We can't find that in Scripture. We are never called to just submit to sin. We are called to submit to Christ as new creatures in Christ. And that never is to sin. That's never the only option. Let's be real, though. For the vast majority of American history, we have enjoyed unparalleled religious freedom. Really have. In the country that we live in, we have enjoyed unparalleled religious freedom. And so even this Memorial Day weekend, again, where our men and women in the military, some of them have paid the ultimate price for us to be here. Let's remember that. And let's pray for them. And let's uphold them. That by and large, we have not been called to sin, right? By and large, we've not been called to sin by our government. I can't say that's always going to be the case. And if you see kind of the storm clouds gathering on the horizon, I think there might be a day when people will be called to sin to submit to the government. I really think there's going to be a day when preachers, people like me, who stand up here with these and talk about that, are going to be in serious trouble with the government for preaching what God's word says. And we'll come to that when we come to that. I look good in orange, which is good, and Melanie will come visit me, I am told. So, but God will sustain us. Sorry, honey. God will sustain us. And if that day comes, again, we are not just called to sin in order to submit to our government. If you were at the Green Pond campus when we went through the book of Acts, you saw this in action, right? You saw this in a passage like Acts 4 and 5 with the account of Peter and John, same guy, Peter and John getting called in by the religious leaders, the big muckety-mucks, about this gospel that they were preaching, right? And what did the religious muckety-mucks say to them? Stop preaching the gospel. You need to stop doing that. And what did Peter and John say? Well, okay, they're right. I guess we got in trouble. Oh, well, we gave it a good try. No, they said, we can't help but preach the gospel. If I'm to obey God or a man, you decide. But I need to obey God rather than men. And that's what this submission entails. So let's remember that. Let's remember those who have gone before us, that even Peter himself said we must obey God rather than men. So we are called to submit purely. We are never called to submit to sin as an act of submission to the government. Okay? We need to keep that in the back of our minds again. But for the foreseeable future, unless things get really, really bad, really, really fast, let's just take grace and encouragement in the country that we live in, because our brothers and sisters around the world don't enjoy that same freedom, okay? But the second aspect of submitting purely is of a personal aspect, right? This is about our place as sojourners and exiles in this. I mean, being a Christian in a world that isn't. Right? How do we do this in our own lives, in our own spirits? We aren't to allow sin in our personal lives to just grow. To claim that we are free to do so. We can't leave sin just unchecked in our lives. We need to submit to our Heavenly Father. We are free in Christ. And we are free from the law. We are free from all those Old Testament sacrifices and what to wear and what to say and what to worship and where to go and all of that. That Christ has filled all of that. But our freedom in Christ never includes sin. Let's remember that. We're not going to use that as a cover up for our own sin. To say that, well, I'm free in Christ to eat this. Well, yeah, but not to gluttony. I'm free in Christ to drink this. But yeah, not to drunkenness. I'm free in Christ to run a business. Yeah, but you need to run it fairly, and you need to run it legally, and you need to run it in the eyes of the government and do the things that you are called to do. So in our own personal lives, we are called to submit purely as well. And a lot of this too, and sometimes I think the biggest trap in New Jersey too, in the Northeast, is materialism, is money. I mean, that's a good thing. God's given us the ability to make money and those good things, but we are never just called to just completely submit to that and say, well, I'm just going to make as much money as I can and give into the lie of materialism, and give into the lie of money. And money is our security and our homes and all of that and our possessions. That we are never called even to submit to that in our own hearts. So we have two parts to this. We're never going to sin if the government tells us to sin. We don't have to submit to that. Submit purely. And we're never going to use our own freedom in Christ as a cover-up for our own personal sin. And that's in our submission. Peter then closes with the last verse, and this is a great summary verse in verse 17. And he's got a bunch of command words in here. So verse 17 says, "Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." These are all imperatives. They're all commands: honor, love, fear. There's a difference in each of these as Peter chose different words, right? He didn't say one thing. He said different words in a bunch of them. We respect. Look at this first part. Honor everyone. Some translations say treat everyone with proper respect. I like that. That we treat everyone with proper respect. Unfortunately, what do you think? Are Christians known for treating others with proper respect all the time? Probably not. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. You ever be with somebody when you're in a restaurant, maybe they're two believers, and the waitress messes up your order, and you just kind of cringe because the other guy just goes to town on the waitress, and you're like, ugh. And then you pray for the food, like, oh, that was just bonus points there. Just like, and now you're there in the back with your food, by the way, so that's not really a good thing. But why wouldn't we as Christians, in honoring them, showing proper respect to everyone, why wouldn't we be the best customers that they had all day? Why wouldn't we treat them well? Why wouldn't we tip them more than anybody else tips them? Because they saw us praying, they heard us talking about Christ. Why wouldn't we show them the proper respect? Why wouldn't we say, and I like it on Wednesday mornings when we're in the diner with, I think we had like, 13,000 guys in the diner this morning. We just took it over. It's pretty early. 6:30 a.m. Wednesdays, Double S Diner. Okay, men, if you're interested. But I love that we're honoring them. We speak nicely to them. We laugh with them. We joke with them. We tip them well. And they said, I love it when you guys come in here. We're showing proper respect. That's what it's about. Are we showing people proper respect? And I don't know about your Bible, but it says honor most people. No. Honor those that you feel like. No. Honor those that deserve it. My Bible says everyone. It's a tough concept, and in the Greek, I'll try and explain it as best I can, but in the Greek, everyone means everyone. Sorry. There's no way out, even in the Greek. We can't do gymnastics or anything in the text to make it say anything other than what it says. We are to show proper respect to everyone. And unfortunately, Christians are not really known for doing that. Why don't we change that? Why don't we change that in the Vernon community? Why don't we change that? So, oh, you go to Highlands? I love those guys. I love them when Highlands guys come in here. You guys are always so nice. You guys are always so honoring to us. Why would we do that? Let's not be the mean, hypocritical Christians. Let's be the honoring Christians. Even here, I ask George and Yulo, how are we doing? We doing okay? Is there anything we need to change? Did anybody give you trouble today? Because I want names. George and Yulo, for those who don't know, are our custodians that are here that help us do what we do. We can't do it without them. But I ask them, are we doing? And I will ask them, are we honoring you? And that's not really a question that you get right away. So he's kind of like, I'm not sure what you mean by that. It's like, are we treating you well? And I said, our job is to make your job easier, not harder. Right? We're honoring them. And so we honor them. Let's look at the next little command here. It says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood. This is speaking about the brotherhood of the believers, that the community of Christ. That I hope if you're visiting with us today, you see community of Christ. You see people that love each other. As my dear brother John Lisa says, this supernatural love that we have for each other. I hope you can see that. And I hope you can say, yeah, I want that. I love how they love each other. I love how they like to be with each other, even when it's 95 degrees and they're sweating, right? Even when they have to break this stuff down and they're sweating and they're still laughing, but they love each other. I want that. I want that kind of bond. Love the brotherhood. It's a different word. It's the special bond of love that we have for our fellow believers. And the world should see that, and they should say, I want that, because the source of our love is God himself, right? It's that gospel-generated love, that commonality that we have. And look at the last two sentences here. Fear God, honor the emperor. Look at the difference in the wording there. We are to honor the emperor, but we are to fear God. See that? That speaks volumes to this whole passage today. Honor the emperor, but fear God. And when we talk about fear in a biblical sense, it's not that just terror. It is that holy awe. It is that reverence. It is that total elevation of priority of person, that God is the most important thing in our life. That we honor him, respect him, obey him above everybody else because of who he is. So we're called to honor our government, but we're called to fear God. And that is a really, really big, beautiful difference that Peter points out to close our passage here today. And you see how this is all tied together. When we do what God commands us to do in submitting to our authorities appropriately, purposefully, freely, purely, we actually honor God, because that's the way he's designed it to work. So we can summarize it this morning by saying submitting to earthly authorities demonstrates a reverence for your heavenly Father. Submitting to earthly authorities demonstrates a reverence for your heavenly Father. We're not just doing this out of empty, mindless submission, that we're engaged and that we're doing it out of free will and we're doing it purely and we're doing it so others see and they see us submitting and they want to know we're loving each other, we're honoring all people, we're showing proper respect, and people see that and they say, you're different. There's something about you that's different. Like, yes, I am a Christian and I follow Christ and I'm pleasing him even in my submission. God establishes authority and for us to submit to them. And I know what you're thinking. Some of you are still probably like, this is still a stretch. Like, how is submitting to the government still part of God's plan? And I'd say, well, it's based on our text today. It's front and center. I can't change what it says. It is part of God's plan. It's not just something we're called to do as mindless. It's part. People take notice of how we act, and it all rolls up into the gospel and our witness. Our friend Emperor Nero, again, was trying to blame the Christians for things going downhill in the empire. And could you imagine how you're supposed to submit to authorities in there? He's killing Christians. But he's telling them it's all part of what God's calling us to do. People see that and they say, wow, your God must be powerful, great, amazing, wise, all of that. You submit to him out of reverence for him. Submitting to earthly authorities demonstrates a reverence for your heavenly Father. If you're struggling with this, let's look no further than our character Peter here, because learning this lesson didn't happen overnight for Peter. Let's think back to some of the things that Peter said and did, right? Remember when Jesus basically told him the whole plan of what was going to happen? He said, Peter, I'm going to go into Jerusalem. They're going to kill me, but I'm going to rise again on the third day. What did Peter say? Okay, great plan. No. He said, that's a terrible plan. That's not going to work. I'm not going along with it. He said that. Scripture says he rebuked Jesus. It's like, ooh. He was like, what? Jesus told him the plan, and Peter said, no, I will not submit to that plan. What did God say to Peter? Or did Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. Right? You don't have your mind on the things of heaven, but you have your minds on the things of earth. Peter struggled with submission when he heard the plan. Remember when it's time for the authorities to arrest Jesus? Our pal Peter was there. They said, Jesus, you're coming with us. What did Peter say? Okay, you better go with him. They're the police. No. He grabbed the nearest sword, and what did he do? He attacked people. Evidently, he was terrible with a sword, because I think he only got the ear, but that's a good thing because he wasn't facing murder charges or anything. But he did not submit. He said, no, this is not going to happen. You're not going to arrest him. And he did not submit. What about after they arrested Jesus? Peter denies him not once, not twice, but three times. Peter, stubborn, strong-willed, impulsive, not submissive. Peter's telling us today, Peter, that Peter, to submit to the authorities for God's sake, because it brings glory to him. You see, God's word doesn't separate submission and respect from authorities from the gospel. God says that this is just another way that he works in all things to remind everyone of the gospel. And I put a passage in your bulletin. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at this connection between submission and the gospel, between honoring those in authority over us. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Oh, this is good and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. Here comes the gospel, who desires all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Submitting to earthly authorities demonstrates a reverence for our Heavenly Father, and it's all part of his plan in the gospel. Sometimes we just need to trust God. We need to read his word, engage our minds, and we need to follow as he's called us to do. And we have his word as a guide. And let's pray that we can do that in our lives today. God, we are so thankful for your word. Lord, this is a tough word today, but yet we're thankful for it. God, that you have worked all things, not even just the things that we can see, but even the things in you setting up authorities, Father. As you remind us clearly from your word in Romans 13, that you set up authorities. There's no authority established by men that has not been established by God. And Father, that we submit to them, we honor them, but we fear you. And Father, we pray that you will help us in our minds to connect those two things, that we would do so, Lord, not as a cover up for sin, not sinning, Lord. And in those opportunities where those challenges in the future where our government may be calling us to sin in order to follow the law, we pray that you will give us grace and strength and peace and endurance and all of those things, Lord, in order to do that. But for right now, we are so thankful for where we live. And as this passage instructed us, we do pray for our government. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the coming election. God, that you would just work, that you would put the person in office to accomplish the plans that you have, to work your common grace, to bring people more to the knowledge of the gospel through whatever circumstances you are going to use. And that is scary, and that's unknown to us. But God, we trust you, and we pray that we would continue to trust you. Please, God, please strengthen our resolve. Please guide our government. Please be with our leaders. Please be with our military, our police, Lord, especially as we think this Memorial Day weekend. We pray that you will cause them to act in integrity, in fairness, and in justice. We thank you for them. But most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who died so that we could be ultimately free from the bondage of sin, that we could be reconciled to you. And it's through faith that we believe that. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.